And welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Tom Roberts writes books for children that help children. His Christmas Story Project has raised more than $1 million for Children's Home Society of South Dakota over the years. His latest is called The Greatest Gift, The Wise One's Journey. It's the fifth book in a collection that includes titles such as 'Twas the Night Before Christ, Santa's Prayer, and The Little Lost Sock. This year's picture book has garnered a Moonbeam Children's Book Award. Joining us now is author, actor, and storyteller Tom Roberts. Tom, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for being here. 14 years. That hardly seems possible.
I know. It has gone by quickly.
And I'm seeing 48,000 books, 50,000 books, somewhere in that neighborhood over that 14 years. Did you ever expect when you started that it could have that kind of a success just in the project itself?
Not at all. It has been such a wonderful journey to see it unfold like this and to have such a positive response of people who believe not only in the positive message of each story, but the mission behind each story.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to the beginning of how this all got started. 'Twas the Night Before Christ is the first book. Is memory served correctly there?
That's right.
All right. Let's go back to that and tell me a story of how it all got started.
It started in a blizzard, actually. I was trying to make my way back home to Sioux Falls from the northern part of South Dakota when I got stranded in a blizzard up at the Summit Exit truck stop. They closed the roads on me, and so there I am sitting in the parking lot, and my wife calls me and asks me to write a little story for the children's Christmas program at church. So I had all night waiting for the roads to open to think up an idea, and I came up with that story, and eventually we presented it at church and found a very good response to it. So we started thinking, boy, we'd like to create that story into a book for a charity. And since we had done some volunteer work at Children's Home Society, they became the first charity that came to mind. And so with the help of a lot of friends, we produced it into a book, and we sold out that first year, and so we were encouraged to continue on. And like you said, here we are many years later now, and it continues to grow, and it is just so satisfying to see it perpetuate like this.
Now, publishing has changed a lot over that 14 years. How has that sort of impacted your work as the world of self-publishing has changed, the world of publishing has changed, the world of distributing books has changed largely in that decade plus?
It is. And, you know, we did a lot of our learning along the way because we really didn't know much about how to do this. But with the support of so many wonderful people and the media here around South Dakota, we were able to make it work. And so every Christmas season, which begins early for us back in October, actually, we start our travels, and it becomes just a wonderful vehicle for us to keep that awareness of Children's Home Society, to share a good message, and keep it in people's minds.
Tell me about Children's Home Society. Give us an idea of what their mission is and what they do in the world.
Well, you know, they have the distinction of being one of the oldest nonprofit human service organizations in the state of South Dakota. 123 years of serving children and families all across the state. Started out as an orphanage and has evolved since then into a very multifaceted service organization, providing residential treatment and education programs, foster care, adoption services, emergency shelter for battered women and children, and so much more. And we have campus in Sioux Falls and another campus out in the Black Hills with children being placed in our cares so that they will have someplace safe to be, to know that they're loved and that there's positive hope for the future.
Do you have a sense of the impact of the Christmas Story Project has had on Children's Home Society and the kids themselves over the years? Is there any way for you to sort of measure that or get your arms around that?
Well, I guess I get that from when I travel about and I do my storytelling programs. And people will come up to me and the kids themselves that maybe have spent time at Children's Home. and are now grown-ups, and they'll come up to me and visit with me and tell me, you know, how they're doing and how that time that they spent there meant a lot to them. It gave them a good footing to be where they are at now. And just the responses from people about the Christmas stories, my little simple little rhyming Christmas reminders of what the season really is all about. Hmm.
Do any of those kids have memories of reading the books as well?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's always kind of fun, too, because I'll go over to the school on occasion and then do some storytelling. So they have their selections that they want me to repeat again, which is fun.
What's the most popular? What's the big request every year? They like
In addition to the stories that have been produced in the books, they like me to do the How the Grinch Stole Christmas, because that was always one of my favorites.
Uh-huh.
And so I try to be as expressive as I can when I tell that story.
Happy to oblige. If you're just joining us, our guest today on Dakota Midday is Tom Roberts. His latest book is called The Greatest Gift, The Wise One's Journey. It's the fifth book in a collection that supports the Children's Home Society of South Dakota. Tom, do all the proceeds of the book go straight to the Children's Home Society? Is that how I understand it?
That's exactly right. You know, we have a number of wonderful sponsors who help underwrite all production costs. So when a book is purchased, all the proceeds go back to benefit the programs and services to help the kids and families.
Hmm. Tell me about this latest book, The Greatest Gift, The Wise One's Journey.
The Greatest Gift, The Wise One's Journey is my own little poetic perspective of the journey of the Magi and how that journey reflects on the journey that we are all on as Christians. And if you'll remember, the Magi brought gifts to offer up in gratitude for God's greatest gift, the gift of his son Jesus at Christmas time. But as it turns out, it was the gifts that they developed along their journey that became much more valuable than the ones that they started out with. And it was my way of helping to remind people through my story that we have gifts to offer up too, and to be kind of mindful of how we're developing those gifts and how we share those gifts not only with God but with each other.
So you certainly have had a journey of your own through this project. Give me an idea of some of the gifts that that journey has given you.
Well, it is just so heartwarming to me to see a positive response when people are being moved by the story, touched by the story, and wanting to offer up some type of help in some form, whether it's by purchasing a book, by sponsoring a book, by volunteering at children's home, or simply keeping those kids and families in their prayers.
Mm-hmm. How have you changed as a writer over the years after the fifth book?
Well, you know, I'm always asked what's new, what's coming up next. So I think it's becoming a challenge, but it's also fun. It's always fun. My favorite thing to do is to sit down with kids and see their ideas, hear their ideas, because they've got great ideas. And so I play around with those kinds of things.
Do you consider yourself a writer at this point? Do you consider yourself a children's author?
I do, but, you know, with one caveat, you know, people think of a person that is a children's writer. Well, I like to think of myself as a writer who writes for children of all ages. Mm-hmm. Whether you're 3 or 103, I like to think that my stories are going to resonate.
Tell me about your process, then, of putting a book together, from the writing to finding an illustrator and working with that aspect of a picture book.
Well, you know, as far as the illustrators go, we've been very blessed to have wonderful local friends who have such an artistic talent. Jim Brumman, who is a local artist, he has illustrated my last 3 books, The Lost Sock, Return to the Farm, and The Greatest Gift. Just so much fun to work with. And then Doug Moss on Santa's Prayer, Steve Hoffman on 'Twas the Night Before Christ. It is a fun process to be able to sit down with them and just kind of brainstorm through how are we going to express these words through each page. And each of them have done just a dynamite job. I'm so proud of the accomplishment that they've made on these books.
Now, for distribution, a lot of small business owners carry your book throughout the state. I'm guessing I've certainly seen them in a variety of stores when I'm out and about. And I'm wondering what the role of sort of independent booksellers and small business owners has been to support the Christmas Book Project.
You know, they've been great, and each year that seems to grow our retailers throughout the state. And these are, small businesses who just have a heart for the Children's Home Society. And it's their way of kind of giving back and helping. And it's fun to go and do book signings at these various shops because the staff are all very aware of the mission. And so people come in and it's kind of comical. They tell everybody, have you seen this book? You know, and all it goes to Children's Home Society. And they're just great promoters with a great heart, and we are so grateful.
How do you approach, I'm wondering how you approach a story such as The Magi, that this new book, The Greatest Gift, The Wise One's Journey, sort of pulls into, certainly there have been many other titles in children's literature who have addressed that topic so well and so creatively. How do you kind of stand at the doorway of that and have the courage to kind of walk inside and do something different and new?
Well, yeah, it is a challenge to, take a subject that so many others have taken on, but I guess I feel like I have my own voice on that, my own thoughts, and typically, when we kind of collectively make a decision at Children's Home as to whether or not a story is going to be made into a book, I like to try it out. And oftentimes I'll try out these stories for a year or two, at different events and see what the response is. And sometimes I'll even do some tweaking on it. And I'll find out whether or not, does it sound like the same old, a story somebody else has said, or is it something fresh? Is it something new that I can offer up and stimulate people to think about the story in a little bit of a different way?
The Moonbeam Children's Book Award, what's that?
The Moonbeam Children's Book Awards is out of Wisconsin, and they bring in authors, illustrators, publishers, the self-publishers of children's books written in English or Spanish that are intended for the North American market. And so each year they ask for people to submit their different titles, and they have a jury of judges that go through these books. And from the thousands of books that they get submitted, they choose either a gold, silver, or bronze medal in a particular category. And this year, I am very privileged and proud to say that I've received the silver award in the holiday category of the children's books.
Well, we congratulate you for that. If you're just joining us, the book is called The Greatest Gift, The Wise One's Journey. Author is Tom Roberts. And if you haven't heard of these books before, all the proceeds benefit the Children's Home Society of South Dakota. Tom, anything else you want to say about the Children's Home Society and the work that we do? I feel like we have touched on that a little bit, but I'm wondering the impact of an organization like that on kids' lives going forward.
Well, we are happy that we have a place like that. We wish we didn't need to have a place like this, but the reality is there are so many children and families in need across our state, and we are proud to be part of an organization that is being able to lend a hand and help these kids have a brighter future.
And we talked with our first guest about the ripple effect. Does that sort of resonate with you as
absolutely
something that
everybody has something to offer up, no matter how big or small?
How much of this has sort of taken over your life? How big of a role does this play in your life right now?
Well, you know, it's something that's always on my mind. And quite frankly, the majority of my writing I have with those kids in the back of my mind. And if there's a way that it can help them or at least bring awareness, then that's great. I love that. It's brought a lot of meaning in my life, and I'm grateful for that.
What other kind of writing do you do?
You know, I do some silly stories. I try to do some more serious things, too. Last week, I had written a program and narrated at the Cathedral on the Prairie in Holden. And so I had written an entire narrative around the theme of joy. A time of rejoicing. And so I try my attempt at different subject matters, but seems a lot of it evolves around Christmas these days.
Yeah, and I still want to get into that process a little bit. Do you have a notebook with you at all times? Do you sit down on a daily basis and write and see what comes up, or do you kind of work toward a deadline or a performance?
It's a little bit of each, I guess. I can't say I'm at that discipline where I'm sitting down every day. And sometimes I find it's best to write a little bit and put it away for a while and come back to it later with a fresh approach. I'm always trying to work on some type of new ideas, and I'll try them out. And they don't always work. I can tell you that. They don't always work, but at least I'm trying, and that's all a writer can really do.
Do you wrestle them back into to working, or you just let them fall on the floor and go? What's your how do you deal with the failures and the ups and downs of?
Well, you know, you store them away because they might spark a different kind of an idea. So you just kind of file them away in a different place.
And how has your role as an actor and storyteller kind of affect you as a writer?
A lot, I would say, you know, because I was an actor to begin with, and speaking other people's words, I kind of got the sense of how I wanted my writing to be spoken. And so I write with that in mind. How do I want it to be heard? How do I want it to be expressed? And so I write with that type of style, I guess. And I am a rather kind of expressive person, I've been told. So that has become my style.
Do you have the book in front of you by chance?
I don't.
I was going to ask you to read just a little bit of it.
I do have it memorized, and I can give you just a few lines.
Give us a little bit here. We got about a minute left.
The greatest gifts of Christmas are not fancy or expensive, but will have a richer meaning that is so much more extensive. Like in that age-old story when the Magi were blessed during that great gift exchange at the end of their quest. Oh, it's a tale worth retelling to help everyone recall which gift in particular is the greatest gift of all. And that, my friends, is how the story begins.
Thank you for that. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for letting us sort of dig into that creative process with you. It's always a pleasure. Tom Roberts is author of The Greatest Gift, The Wise One's Journey. Proceeds from the book benefit Children's Home Society of South Dakota. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you very much.